Amen. That's good. Thank you, ladies. Nail it to the cross. Don't carry it around. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And then I want you to hold your finger there and turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Sorry about last week. I got halfway through my morning, the early service. And I didn't feel quite right when I was getting ready to come to church last week, but I thought, well, you know how it is, I'll be all right. And when I was getting ready to come to church last week, I had this, I thought, well, maybe I slipped on my neck wrong or something, you know, and it kind of hurt across my shoulders and my neck, and I kind of struggled getting ready, and then I sat down. As soon as I sat down, it relieved it. It was fine. I thought, well, I'll be okay. And so I got in here, and I thought, I'll be all right, and got to preaching. About a third of the way through the message, I started feeling that pain in my neck again, and it just felt like, I don't know what it was. I still don't have any idea what it was, but it just felt like I had an anvil hanging on my shoulders, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then things kind of got a little bit cloudy on me there, and so I thought, well, and I thought I got to get done. So I, to be honest with you, I stopped about 20 minutes or 25 minutes earlier, I guess. And they kind of went, something's wrong. And we talked about it. And I thought, well, I'll go on home. And Brother Tim did a good job, filled right in there, bless his heart. And so I actually had him preach that message this morning for the early service. Because I like to keep the second service and early service together, so I'm preaching the same message. So you didn't get to hear this message, and you need to hear this message. And so they already heard that message, and so I thought, well, we'll try to keep it together. And so I had him preach there this morning, and now I get to give this one to you. But don't think I'm going to get done 20 minutes early. As far as I know, we're going to have the full-blown message here. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, if you will. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You've got Christ. Now walk in the things of God. Walk in him. Then it says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. So he's saying there, you know, you receive Christ as your Savior. You've got him in your heart. He's going to make a difference in your life if you let him. And so you've got him. Now walk in him. So many people take their salvation and then they don't use it. They don't make full use of the blessings and the wonderful gift that we have in eternal life. So he says, not only do I want you to walk in, but here's how we're going to do it. We're going to walk in by being rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, like I've taught you, and said, abound therein with thanksgiving. Listen, not just a little bit here and there. This is beyond taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, if you don't know the Lord's good, well, taste and see that the Lord is good. But listen, if you already knew Christ as your Savior, you've already tasted to see that the Lord is good. Listen, get full benefit of your walk with God. And so now he said, now watch me. He said, if you're not careful, verse 8, he says there's going to be somebody who's going to want to steal that from you. They're going to talk you out of having that walk with God. Some are going to tell you that's not worth it. Some are going to tell you there really isn't a walk with God to have. Some are going to tell you that God doesn't want you. Somebody's going to say, well, it doesn't work. Some are going to say, well, this is what you really need is what the world has. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. You know the phrase, to the conqueror goes the spoils, okay? All the goody. He says, don't let them steal from you through philosophy. They're telling you, here's how it ought to work, and they talk us out of it through vain deceit. They'll lie to you. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Because, well, listen, remember this. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything God is in Jesus Christ. And you're complete in him. You're not incomplete with him. There's nothing else that you need. And he's the head of all principality and power. Listen, he has the authority over everything in the entire universe. You're complete in him. You're not wasting your time by trying to walk in him. In fact, you're finally getting your full desserts, if you will. Now, that has nothing to do with it, but it does. Proverbs 28, verse 17. Proverbs 28, verse 17. We have a choice in life. We can live like the world, or we can walk in him. We can live like the world, or we can walk in him. The world is always trying to take in order to get. If we will take Christ and walk with him, we will get what we need. We don't have to do it in a worldly way. It comes with the deal. Now read that with this. Let's read this with this, with that in mind. Verse 17 of Proverbs 28. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. In other words, somebody who hurts other people is going to get hurt. And you know what? Let it be. So be it. Let no man stay him. Watch this. Whosoever walketh uprightly shall be saved. Now, don't be confused. We use the word saved to mean that we've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're going to heaven. All right? That's not what this word here is really talking about. In other words, whosoever walks uprightly is going to be saved from falling into the pit or falling into trouble, into problems and so forth. You walk uprightly, you're going to be saved from all that. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. You could say it this way. If you work hard in the field, you'll have plenty of bread. If you work hard at being lazy, you'll have plenty of poverty. That's really what it's saying. Then it says, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I want to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to preach on this topic, the blessings of abounding. And we've been talking about always abounding, for your labor's not in vain in the Lord. When you abound in the things of God, you will not be sorry. You will not have wasted your time. It's worth every ounce of effort and time and energy and devotion that you give to walking in the Lord, abounding in him. It's worth it all. I know a lot of people don't think but the problem is most people do not abound in the things of God. They just kind of taste and see if the Lord's good. And then they move on. They never really immerse themselves into the things of God. You really want to see the blessings. You really, listen, watch. I should abound in my relationship with my wife. If I want to get full benefit and full enjoyment and full pleasure out of my wife and my relationship with her, then I need to invest in that relationship and abound in that relationship. But if I just here and there, like, okay, on Valentine's Day and her birthday and anniversary, and the rest of the year I don't hardly pay any attention to her, she'll appreciate the little bit that she gets, but I'm not going to get the full benefit of my relationship with her because I'm not abounding in her. And there are people who are the fact of them say, I tried that God thing, I tried that church thing, and I just didn't get much out of it. That's because you're just kind of tasting it. You're not abounding. He said, listen, you be faithful in what you're supposed to do, because verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. If you abound in your walk with him, you will abound in the blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for these truths. Simple message. And Lord, just kind of let's build on this thing here this morning. And may we realize we have a desire to abound in our walk with you. We're yours. Now we need to walk in you. And not just walk in you sometimes or a couple times a week or a couple times a month or maybe on Sundays and holidays, but to abound in you daily as we walk in you and we'll see the blessings. Lord, speak to our hearts. We need you. We ask for your Holy Spirit. Make this all work and all be clear in Christ's name. Amen. Now you're going to think I'm changing the subject on you, but I'm not. Nathan touched on this in his Sunday school class. I touched on this a few weeks ago. We reap what we sow. Now if you don't know those terms, it means you harvest what you plant. You're going to pick what you put in the field. You don't plant corn and get broccoli. Thank God. How's for you? You also don't plant corn and get spaghetti. You know what I mean? You get what you plant. Now watch me. We reap what we sow. The more we sow, most likely the more we're going to reap. Right? Okay. Now, if we abound in sowing, then most likely we are going to abound in our reaping. Okay? The more right things and good things that we sow, the more right things and good things we will reap. The more wrong things and bad things we sow, the more wrong things and bad things we're going to reap. Now, there are many things that people abound in. You could say they're consumed with. These things that we go to sleep thinking about, and then we dream about, and then we wake up still thinking about them. Some people may call them an obsession. Their lives are immersed in it. That's why I see that. Listen, there are people who think that religious people go to church, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They go to Bible conference. They do this. They pray before their meal. Listen, they make sure their kids are in Sunday school. They do all these kind of things, and they say they're a fanatic. They're abounding in their walk with the Lord. I know some folks who abound in their support of a particular sports team. They abound in that. They are immersed in that. They are consumed by it, if you will. I mean, there are people who are still in shock and in mourning because Eagles lost. You know what? I didn't lose any sleep. Not any. But they abounded. Watch this. So I'm not against hobbies. I like hobbies. I kind of grew up with a fellow, with my dad, had a lot of hobbies and so forth. But hobbies can get out of control. I mean, once you've sown all the time and the energy and the money into this thing that you're abounding in, what do you have, what are you going to reap for all your time and energy and finances? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have hobbies. I'm just saying, put it in perspective. Will those things carry you through the difficult times? I mean, the Bible even says, you know, it's nice to have money, but money's not is not going to redeem your brother. Listen, money's not going to save anybody's soul. You may use it to help save somebody's soul, but it's not going to save anybody's soul. Have you ever heard of the old saying, "He that dies with the most toys wins"? You ever see that bumper sticker? Well, my point is, he that dies with the most toys is still dead. And what do you win? Was it worth it? And we can apply that to almost anything. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My question is, what are you abounding in? I'm just walking through this process. You already got the gist of the message. But I want to walk through this because I want to nail this thing down here, because so often we don't abound. And he said, listen, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Number one, he basically says in our passage there, Colossians 2, back in Colossians 2, 6, you have Jesus as your Savior. Now, sow to that relationship. Invest in that relationship. Make good use of that relationship that you have with him. We have a resource, and we have an endless source of blessing to our disposal, and most of us never make good use of it. He says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Take full advantage of having a relationship with the Lord, being his child. And if you have the Lord at hand, it seems rather simple and a waste to not get the greatest benefit from the relationship you can. You don't have to walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their own minds. You have the mind of Christ within you. He can guide you. You have the Holy Spirit of God of the universe living in your heart to guide you. So why are you lost along the way? The light of the world is inside you, and yet we stumble in the darkness. We have Christ, now walk ye in him. We need to be firmly planted in our relationship with the Lord. This is not a superficial relationship, but firmly planted. Look at verse 7. He says, rooted and built up. Rooted. You know, sometimes you get these storms, and it's been raining and raining and raining and raining for a week or so, and then you get a big windstorm, and these trees have been up for years and years and years. They fall over. And sometimes you find out that the root was starting to rot down in the bottom. And the fact is, this great big tree and a great big expanse, and the boughs went way out, and yet the root was really little because it had gradually rotted away. It didn't have any root to hold it. The root there means grounded, built up, stable, affixed to, not easily blown away. He says, I want you to walk with him, but I want you rooted in him. Not a superficial, I know who God is. No, I mean down deep, that's a root. It's something that you hang on to. It's your anchor, if you will. Now, but be honest with you, though, not only does it mean rooted, means it's stabilized. But listen, what else are the roots there for? That's where it's getting the nourishment. That's where it's getting its life. That's where it's getting its strength. That's what it's living on. What do you live on? Listen, we have Christ in you in your life. Now abound in him. Walk in him. Live on him. Let his life live through you. We're so busy trying to, well, that's real nice, but I got things to take care of, Lord. I don't have time for this right now. Well, that's like being a potted plant. You know what I mean? You're not rooted down to anything. You're at the disposal of whoever puts something in that pot. Listen, I mean, I know you. How many hundreds of times I've quoted this, but blessed the man that walks not in the counsel of godly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's being rooted. And he said, he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, faith will take, you dig your roots there, back in the water of life, you be faithful to that, and faithful and blessings will abound. Blessings will abound. He says we need to be rooted, and if we're rooted well, we'll be built up. Strengthened. Producing fruit. Growing. Seeing the blessings. Often when I lead somebody to the Lord, when I get finished and they've prayed to receive Christ with me, I want to remind them that this is the beginning. You have now the answer to solve all those problems, but all your problems are not yet solved. And I said, here's what you need to do. And again, you've heard me say this, but this is the principle. Jesus said, go in all the world, preach the gospel of every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I said, that's what our church is about. We go out and get folks saved. We get them strengthened to take a stand for Christ, to know that they know that they know that they know that they're saved. And then I said, we spend church time teaching you to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It's not just a list of rules. It's a list of promises. It's the rules of life. It says, it's in other words, how do you get the blessing? Really? It's about how you get the blessing. And I said, you know, you the thing is, you plant a tree. When we moved in our first house, my dad had planted some little pine trees between us there, between his house and our house. And they were, when they were planted, when we first started, we had to mow them, you know. So the weeds were higher than the pine trees. I mean, you know, they were little seedlings. They had this machine that came along and it punched a hole and stuck a tree in there and punched a hole and stuck a tree in there, and hundreds of these little pine trees were put in there. Janet would go out there and she'd find them in the weeds, and then I'd come up and mow around them. And then she'd find another one in the weeds, and I'd mow around it because the grass was higher than the pine trees. Now, they're three or four stories high, you know. They grew, but it takes time. And so I said, now, listen, when you get ready to, you come to church, I said, I'm going to have a series of messages going on Sunday morning. And I'll preach a message. And you're going to say, well, this is what a Christian life is, huh? And so it's like putting on one limb on an artificial Christmas tree. You know those old Christmas trees that don't come out on hinges, but you got to poke one in there, okay? And so when you got saved, you got the stand and you got the trunk. He said, this doesn't look like a Christian life to me. No, it doesn't. And so then I put on a branch on Sunday morning. Well, that doesn't look like that's a Christian life. No, just give me time. And then in the next couple weeks, I'm going to put some branches on into that thing. So that's the Christian. No. In the meantime, on Sunday night, I've got another series, or the guys are preaching, and we're going to put a limb on down here. So that's what a Christian life. Now, that's not what a Christian life looks like. And next few weeks, we're going to put some other things on here. And actually, we gradually put on limbs until all of a sudden, you say, I'm getting the picture. I see where you're going. It's taking shape. I can visualize what a Christian life really is. But watch. What happens when you've got all these structural limbs on here? And you've done all that. That's when the good part starts. That's when the ornaments come. The ornaments in life show up a little later.
It's a family that has still that's still happy to get together. It's a marriage that has gotten sweeter instead of disjointed. One that always hits me, you know, is how dads are. But I remember when Janet was still teaching, when we first came up here, she was still teaching music lessons in Maryland. And we needed whatever we could just to kind of help pay the bills. So on Fridays, she'd go down and teach. And we were homeschooling our kids, so I'd stay home and watch the kids. Wasn't much good at homeschooling, but I could be there with them. And then during lunchtime, I was not much of a cook. We'd go out to the Chick-fil-A or something for lunch with the kids. And that was back when the mall was still a mall. And I remember one particular week we were headed out there. We had to park a little ways away, just the way it was. And we were walking down through the mall to get to the Chick-fil-A that was actually in the mall at that point. And my daughter Esther, she was in her teens, and my daughter Hannah was in her teens, and Nathan was tagging along, and one of my girls put her arm in my arm on this side, and one of my girls put their arm in my arm this way, and here I was with my two teenage daughters walking down the hallway in the mall. And they weren't ashamed to be with their father. And I didn't put it, it was something they just did. Now, that sounds like such a little thing, but I see so many families who can't even speak kindly one to another. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking about, little ornaments, things that come up later and makes it sweet. If you be faithful, he says you will abound with blessing. We need to be firmly built up and rooted. And then he says, in the faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, but also faith to walk by faith through our days on the earth. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He supplies all our need. He's our rock and our high tower, our shield, our buckler. He's closer than a friend, more wonderful. He's my wonderful counselor, my eternal father, my almighty God, my prince of peace. He says, walk in the faith as ye have been taught. He says, you have been told to do this and how to do it. The problem is, do it. Do it. I don't know whether you think it's not for you or you just don't believe it yet, but he said, listen, you, if you're faithful and abound in him, you will abound in his blessing. He says, go ahead, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Get as much of the, ready for this? Get as much of the gusto of Jesus Christ as you can abound in him. The world says, good, go out and get as much of your lived ones, get as much gusto as you can. All you're getting is death. All you're getting are problems. All you're getting is the world. Listen, you want gusto? Get as much of the gusto of Jesus Christ as you can. And you'll abound in that blessing. Take the gift and enjoy it. Just be grateful you have the truth and live by it. You have Jesus as your Savior. Now sow and invest in that relationship. Number two. Don't allow your relationship with the Lord to be stolen from you. Continue to abound in it. Let nothing stop you or convince you to stop abounding in him. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of living for the Lord and experiencing the blessings of God. The world and the devil and even our own flesh want us to fail, and so they are doing all they can from walking in him and having the blessings of God in your life. Think it would be easy to just stay firm in the faith, to be rooted and grounded and also built up in the truth of God. However, the fact is, this is a constant uphill battle that goes against our natural fleshly inclinations. And meantime, the old devil in the world is teaching us other things, saying this is not the way it's going to work. It just can't work. It can't work that way. You need to get away from that crazy thing. Don't be a fanatic for religion. You're going to mess yourself up. You're going to lose out. And the devil knows your inclinations and your weaknesses, and he will capitalize on it. So if so, you can stop abounding in your walk with the Lord. He wants to keep you and your Savior as far away from each other as possible. Do you realize that? They want to keep you separated as far as possible. Look at verse 8. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He says, beware. Keep a close eye out. He says, you better watch it. He said, listen, I want to abound in my relationship, my walk with God. Now watch me. I want to abound in my, my relationship with my wife, but I'll guarantee you, the world is trying to talk me out of that. There's always something that'll separate us. Always something that keeps us from abounding. You can wave across the room. A lot of people, that's what they do. They kind of wave it, they wave at God across the room. No, I want to abound in our relationship with him. He says, listen. He says, don't let any, lest any man spoil you. You know what it means to spoil? To take that which rightfully belongs to you. That's really what it means. When they spoil you, they're taking that which rightfully belongs to you. Listen, I have the opportunity to abound in Jesus Christ in my walk with him. And those blessings right I'm right there. Rightfully belong to me. They're mine. Here's the worst thing. The devil will talk us into giving it away. He'll talk us into giving it away. He'll say, listen, I'll trade you this for this. This isn't going to go anywhere anyway. So why don't you just let me take care of you? And how do they do that? Through philosophy. The musings of those who like to think of themselves as wise. But God will confound the wise. He says, through vain deceit. That means worthless delusions. The thoughts of men which are more than nothing more than empty falsehoods. It says, after the tradition of men. In other words, the credibility they have is the fact that generations have been believing and propagating the same lies for many, many years. That's what it means. And so we say, well, that's the way everybody else did it. I guess that's just the way we'll do it. Well, it's well established. In the world, don't let the world talk you into giving away your blessings. He says, after the rudiments of the world. Rudiments are kind of like the motions that the army does in march and when they march and when they're in formation. There's certain things that they do. We just get in line. And the fact is, you want to get the blessings. Listen. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And you know what the world is saying? Get in line. We're all going this way. And they all line up, and they're all falling like a bunch of lemmings right down to the pit. And they said, you're missing out. Here we go. Listen, we're all here. And listen, go ahead and let it pass by. There's very few people that are walking on that little path that's going to find the blessing. But listen, you be a faithful man, and you'll find the blessings will come. Don't go out that way the world's going. You got to be careful with that. In fact, it's interesting. We are almost ashamed not to do and believe what the rest of those around us are doing simply because it's what we're accustomed to. And we don't want to make waves even though we know the Lord teaches us differently. It's just like we're just going to go along with the crowd. It'll be all right. It says, beware. Frightened this thing. I was thinking of an old Johnny Cash song.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I'll walk the line.
You know what he said? You know what that old song says? I got the right girl now, and I don't want to lose her. So none of this playboy stuff, none of this playing around. I'm going to walk the line. That's what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? I got a Savior. He's true and he's faithful. He's God himself. He's my bridegroom. And I don't want to lose him. So I'm going to walk the line. That's what he's saying. And you know what the problem is? You say, well, I just can't. Yes, you can. Number three, we do not have need of the world to get truth. We've got everything we need when we got Jesus Christ. Anything God can do, anything God needs to be done, we got when we got Jesus. He can do it all. You have everything you need in Jesus, so you don't need to be looking anywhere else, nor let anybody else talk you out. Look at verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything that God is in Jesus. So if you've got Jesus and you've got everything that God is. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. There is nothing else we need, and God has the authority to make anything happen. Listen, I really do not need to abound in anything else as long as I'm abounding in Jesus Christ. All of God is in Jesus, and all the world is subject to Jesus, so all I need is Jesus. Number four. Now, this is important. If you abound in Jesus, you will abound in the blessings of the Lord. He said, I want you to abound in the blessings. The faithful man will abound in the blessings. That takes us to Proverbs 28:17. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit, let no man stay him. Listen, someone that abounds in sin will abound in the sin's consequences. Let me say that again. Someone who abounds in sin will abound in the consequences of sin. A man who lives in such a way that he doesn't care how he hurts or harms others shall dig himself into a hole, and if he's going to be that way, this verse basically says, so be it. Watch this. Don't get hooked up with him. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Because you'll end up in the same pit that he's in. It is sad, but don't be so foolish as to follow him into the pit right behind him. The whole world's rudiments, here they go. Yeah, they all... marching, here they go, marching. They got all their orders, and there they go. And they're all headed right off the edge of the cliff. You keep doing right, and you will stay out of the pit and be saved from the pit. Look at verse 18. Whoso walketh upright shall be saved. From what? From the pit. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. You get off that path of righteousness, you're just going to be a mess. If you stop following the Lord and you go out into the world and follow the world, you will find yourself in the pit before you know it. And listen, most people don't know they're standing that close to the edge of the pit. They think, I'm good. Watch me. This is the next part of the verse. Here's where we started. If we sow the right things in our lives, we will reap plenty of the right things in our life. Look at verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. In other words, you do the right things, you're going to have plenty to work with. You abound in the things of God, you're going to have plenty of the blessings of God to abound in. But he that followeth after vain persons, a bunch of empty-headed people who think they know more than God, shall have poverty enough. You'll have plenty of poverty. If you go off in the wrong things, you'll have plenty of the wrong things in your life. Just do right. Keep doing right according to the word of God, and the Lord will bless you more than you can imagine. That's why it says in verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessing, and he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Abound in faithfulness to the Lord. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now under him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen. But on the other hand, if you set out to bless yourself without the Lord's hand, and you're going to do so by grabbing all the world has to give instead of seeking all that the Lord has to give, you will end up doing things you never thought you would do, and you'll disqualify yourself from the blessings of God, which would have been a whole lot better if you had just done right and waited for the seed of righteousness to grow into the blessings of the Lord. We get impatient. And so, well, I know this is the way the Lord wants us to, but I'm not seeing anything grow. You reap what you sow. You sow. Listen, if you reap, you're going to sow. If you're going to sow, you'll reap. And a lot of people say, well, I sow, but we're not waiting for it to grow. Faithful, abounding in that. Listen, the love of the world will destroy you. Do not abound in your attempt to gain the world, but solely in your effort to walk with Jesus. Abound with your effort to walk in Jesus. Now, listen to this. 1 Timothy 6 says this. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of the world, of the words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, watch, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For ye brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That doesn't mean that's all we're ever going to have. But we should be content having food and raiment. But God knows, listen, God is a good God. He already said, you be faithful, you'll abound in blessings. Well, listen to this. But they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Abounding in the love of the world brings an abundance of sorrow. Abounding in the love of the world brings an abundance of sorrow. But I abound in my walk and my love for the Lord. And faithful, he says, will bring an abundance of blessing. Who are you faithful to? The world, its philosophies and lies, and the people who've fallen for its lies? Or are you faithful to the Lord and his truth and his ways? If we sow to the world, we'll reap of the world. Hosea 8 says, for they have sown the wind, and they've reaped the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, the crop's going to come up. And we will reap if we faint not. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. And if you abound in sowing, you will abound in reaping. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. So abound in the things of the Lord, and you will abound with the blessings of the Lord. Don't do this half-heartedly. You walk half-heartedly, you're going to have a half-hearted relationship. You want more out of life than that. And he's the way, the truth, and the life.